Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في
أرض. Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. And as history is a testament, and furthermore both friend and enemy have testified openly, Imam Ali alayhi salam was not tainted with any vices, unlike so many others who surrounded him and opposed him. He had a perfect faith in Allah, and so he acted according to his belief. Imam Ali alayhi salam was a lantern of guidance in his time, where the sunnah of the Holy Prophet had begun to be forgotten. Yet Imam Ali remained steadfast on the path of the pure Muhammadan Islam, like a solid, unshakable fortress in the middle of a great wild storm.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: إذا هبت أمرا فقع فيه، فإن شدة توقيه أعظم مما تخاف منه.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "When you are afraid of something, dive straight into it, because the intensity of abstaining from it is greater than what you are afraid of."
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what an honor it is to be here humbly speaking about the universal persona of His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So this is probably the last program where we're going to be talking about these really interesting instances from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, in which His Eminence was destroying the great idols of the Meccan polytheists. And of course, we are taking, you know, very small, beautiful, interesting lessons from these instances of the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam and trying to connect them to his universal persona as well. So in this instance, we find that this is the more famous instance of Imam Ali alayhi salam destroying idols. So when the Holy Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi led the conquest of the city of Mecca, which was, of course, a peaceful conquest because at least 10,000 people had come with His Eminence. And how very different is this from the night migration where His Eminence, the Holy Prophet, had to secretly leave the city of Mecca because they were going to assassinate him. And here we find that years later, he is coming back to the city of Mecca with 10,000 people at least who are supporting him and who are willing to fight for him and defend him. And he ends up peacefully conquering this city. So when this conquest was going to happen in that time frame, there were more than 300 idols that were positioned just on the roof of the Holy Kaaba. And so we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he climbed up upon the shoulders of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, and he uprooted all of these idols and he threw all of them to the ground, including a major idol by the name of Hubal, which was actually worshipped by Abu Sufyan. So, you know, just to kind of put everything into perspective, whether it is idols that are within ourselves, whether it is idols manifested in the, you know, in the face of arrogant powers, or whether it is, you know, idols such as fame and wealth and status, or whether it is idols in the shape of sports stars or musicians or actors or the different kind of, you know, idols that are put forth for human beings to worship in one way or the other. We have to fight these idols. We have to break these idols. We have to break ourselves from these idols. That is really what is going on. You know, we're not saying go and break, you know, certain actors. No, we have to break our concept of that individual being an idol. When we break that concept of that individual being an idol, we have already broken that idol, metaphorically speaking. So, but the more we worship, quote unquote, that idol within ourselves or outside ourselves, the more we strengthen that idol. But the minute that we stop worshiping that idol, we have broken that idol, at least for ourselves, and then we help others to break that idol. You know, one last thing, of course, even though we've run out of time, destroying Hubal, which was the idol that was worshipped by Abu Sufyan, would incur the wrath and the deadly enmity of Abu Sufyan, and it did. You see that the generations and the children of Abu Sufyan, Muawiyah and Yazid, they had a deadly enmity with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. But this deadly enmity should never make us fearful of doing what is our duty and our obligation and our responsibility. A very interesting lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم فاستجب دعائي واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء قدير.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى in chapter 3 of the Quran, in verse number 33, makes an announcement where he says, إن الله اصطفى. Verily God has chosen Adam and then Nuh. And then the family of Abraham, and then Imran, ala al-alamin, over the rest of the people in the world. When you look at this verse of the Quran, you come to realize that all human beings have been created by Almighty God, but they are not equal in the eyes of God. As far as their status is concerned, you know, when it comes to the prophets of God, the messengers of God, those who represent Him in conveying His message, they are at a higher, you know, status than other human beings. I would like to take this opportunity to actually talk about the special status that God has given to Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. Let me go to the issue of, you know, tathir. Tathir means the issue of, you know, infallibility and purity of the Ahlul Bayt. We know the verse of the Quran where Almighty God declared the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, to be pure and to be infallible. But this is not only the issue of spirituality. You know, that quality that God has given to them, sometimes it is so powerful that you will see even on physical dimension, the rules will change for them. And let me, you know, give you an example here, relating it with the event about the Ahlul Bayt. For example, you look at space or place. Not every place is equally sacred. You know, let's start with our own musalla, the prayer rug that we use at home. Normally people fix one area in their room, you know, where they would put their prayer rug, the musalla, to do their daily prayers. In your house, it is your house. Every area, every space there is equal. But once you start praying in that particular spot in your bedroom or your living room, whatever place you are dedicated for your daily prayers, gradually that space acquired the sacredness which is not there in the other parts of your home. And this is not only a symbolic statement. You know, in our religious teachings we are told that when a person is going through the last stages of life, when they are going through agony of death, and if you see they are kind of suffering during that moment,
If they want to seek relief, you know, place that person in the place where he was doing the prayers on the musalla or the area of musalla. That will help that individual to go through this, you know, process of death. And so it means that that space itself acquires a sacredness and it has an impact on individuals in that way. That area in your home with the mosque in your neighborhood, which will be more sacred? Of course, the mosque, the masjid in your neighborhood would be more sacred. Then compare that, you know, local masajid in different neighborhoods to the major mosque in the region, which is known as the Jami Masjid, where Friday prayers are held in large congregation. That Jami Masjid becomes more sacred than other neighborhood, you know, mosques. And then on a global level, you know, if you look at the mosque which is there in Mecca, known as Masjid al-Haram, that is considered to be the holiest spot for us on this earth. God is everywhere. You know, technically I can stand and pray in whatever direction I want. But according to the religious laws, we are told that yes, God is everywhere. But for your prayers to be valid, you must stand up facing the direction towards the mosque in Mecca. Why? Because that direction acquires its own sanctity and sacredness because of that place known as Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And then there are other great mosques around the world. You know, after Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, you look at the mosque in Medina, the Prophet's mosque known as Masjid al-Nabi. That is second in importance as far as sacredness is concerned. Then you have this mosque in Iraq, in Kufa, known as Masjid al-Kufa. That is, you know, after the Masjid al-Nabi. And then finally, among the major masajid around the world, you have this Masjid al-Aqsa, which is in Jerusalem. And so although they are all masjid, places of worship, but not all mosques are equal in status.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.